and that's good.
Woo!
I'll tell you right now, if that don't get you fired up, bless God, your wood's a little wet. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was sitting over there thinking, man, Pastor, yes, amen. Pastor's not here. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to have lots of extra time. Dr. Stubblefield's up here making an announcement about being on time for class, and then here comes Pastor. I don't know. Wait, who said that? I don't know who said that. Well, you've made it through your first week, right? For some of you, this is like you're still shell-shocked. You've never experienced anything quite like this. I kind of know the feeling. Pastor mentioned just a minute about my testimony a minute ago. I grew up in Haines City, Florida, and went to college at Landmark Baptist College, and I went through 4 years of Bible college, had a job in the ministry. I was a lieutenant in the fire department. I was a baseball coach, a football coach. I was assistant athletic director, and I thought I had it made. I had everything, and then I came here, and I visited chapel. My wife, Christy, we met in fifth grade. Yeah. We didn't date as teenagers, though, so that's... But she came to college here. I went to college in Florida, and I came with her family for her graduation, and I sat right over there in chapel and on the last chapel service of the school year and experienced the spirit that's in this room. And now, listen, I had already been to 4 years of Bible college and hundreds of chapel services, and I never experienced anything like I felt when I sat in chapel at Hiles Anderson College. And it was new to me, and I was a little shell-shocked. And so I went back to Florida and told the pastor I couldn't take the job and resigned my position at the fire department and sold my car and sold my house and all my furniture and all of everything, and I moved into Rice 111. You want to talk about shell-shocked? How many of you, for the first time in your life, you have a roommate? Back then, there were eight of us in Rice 111. You know, roommates, they can be a blessing. They can be a challenge. Sometimes they turn out to be your bestie. Sometimes they turn out to be your worstie. Right? You're like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? I don't even know. Sometimes you have great roommates. Sometimes you have whiners. Sometimes you have some that work hard, sometimes you don't. You know, how many of you have the roommate? You've heard him on the phone to mom already, all nasally and whiny. Mom! And that's just the boys. That's just the boys. But listen, let me tell you something. Whether you're a freshman this year, a sophomore, a junior, a senior, a graduate student, staff member, you got this. You got this. You can do it. Listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You got this. You can come into this school year confident that you've got this. If you've ever done something new for the first time, I think about some of these churches in the New Testament. I mean, like, church itself was new. The whole concept of a local church, a New Testament church, was revolutionary. And when you read some of Paul's letters that he wrote to those churches, I find it over and over again. Listen, you're going to fix a few things, but you got this. Let's open to Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1. The verse that I'm going to focus on today has been one that I've been motivated by all summer long. You know, it's been a challenging summer here. You're familiar with the computer hack that we went through and all the, you know, stuff that just happens, and it's been a challenging summer. And the Lord gave me this verse early in the summer, and I've been thinking about it and praying about it, and it's been kind of top of mind for me for a lot of the summer. And so when I was asked to speak in chapel here early in the school year, it was kind of an easy decision of what the Lord would want me to bring to you, the students and staff of Hiles Anderson College, and whoever may be listening to this podcast at some point. Philippians chapter 1, we'll just start in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with their bishops and deacons. There's a group of people that were doing something for the first time. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Verse number 6 is what I want to focus on for just a few minutes this morning. You got this. You can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a very simple outline taken from that verse right there. If you're writing it down, if you're taking notes, whatever, point number 1, be confident. You can do this. And you can be confident in the position and in the place that God has put you in today. I mean, you're here, right? You packed up your stuff from wherever you came from, and you ended up here at Hiles Anderson College. You've made it through the first week of school. You've made it through your first weekend of ministry. You figured out which bus route to join, maybe, or which one not to join, maybe. I don't know. You're starting to figure out your roommates. Maybe you got married this summer, and you're a married student, and you're trying to figure that out. You can be confident. Confidence means having full belief, trusting, relying, fully assured. Be confident in where God has put you right now. You're a college student at Hiles Anderson College. You're a staff member, a faculty member at Hiles Anderson College. You can be sure that God put you here, right here, today, right now. You can be confident in that. You can rest assured and be fully assured that God put you here. The devil didn't send you to Hiles Anderson College. Be confident in where God has put you. Maybe you're a new bus captain. How many new bus captains this year? A few girls raising their hands. We know the bus captain is the head, but it's the spirit leader who is the neck that turns the head, right? We understand how that works, right, girls? Listen, bus captains, whether you're a new bus captain or an old bus captain, be confident in this position and in the place that God has put you in. Some of you, this is the first time you've held a leadership position of any kind in your life. Listen, bus captain, division leader, spirit leader, be confident in the opportunity that God has given you. Some of you got a new job this week, or hopefully you're going to very soon so you can pay your school bill. Amen. You're a new employee. For some of you, this may be the closest thing to a full-time job you've ever had in your life. You're a new employee. You're going to be working for somebody who you don't know or you don't like. Be confident that God has put you where you are today. You have a new roommate. You may love him already. You may hate him already. I remember when I was in college, I had a roommate, his name was Mike. Mike was an older student. He's a pastor now. He's doing fantastic work for God. But Mike was annoying as a college student. Mike was always on a diet, but never losing weight. You know what I'm talking about? Mike would come home from work with low-fat Chips Ahoy and Diet Pepsi. And he would eat the whole pack and drink the whole 2-liter in one night. Sometimes they're your bestie, sometimes they're your worstie, right? Be confident in where God has put you, in your position, wherever you are as a leader, as a follower, as an employee, as a worker, as a college student, as a Sunday school teacher, as a junior church director, as a bus driver, as a soul winner, as wherever you are, whatever you're doing, be confident in what God has called you to do. Be confident of this very thing. Yesterday, I had lunch with Eddie Scott. I don't see Eddie. Where is he? He's ditching. Hey, listen. Interning was very good to that boy. Have y'all seen him? But Eddie said this to me yesterday at lunch. He said, it doesn't matter. Now, if you can get an intelligent quote out of Eddie Scott, God must be in this place. I'm telling you right now. He said, it doesn't matter whether or not you think you can do it. This is the place to try. Whatever position God has given you, you can be confident that you can step into that role, step into that position, and act and work and lead and follow in confidence. Be confident in your abilities to lead. God has put you here. God has sent you to Bible college, preparing you and working in your life. Be confident in your ability to be able to lead. Challenge yourself to be better, to learn, to study, to grow. Maximize your impact on that bus route, in that Sunday school class, in your dorm room, in your classroom. Your student body needs you to lead. Your roommates need you to lead. Your bus route needs you to lead. Your Sunday school teachers need you to lead. Your younger brothers and sisters back home need you to lead. Your youth group back home needs you to lead. Your pastor needs you to lead. God needs you to lead. Be confident in what God has given you to do. Maximize your impact. Change your thinking from I'm not good enough to I know I can. You remember the book when you were a little kid? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. The little engine that could. You can. You can do it. You got this. You got this. When you change your thinking, you can change your life. What we think determines how we behave. Be confident of this very thing that he. That's the best part. He. It's all about him. He. Christ-centered. Confident. Christ-centered. Make it all about him. We're so tempted to make it all about me. What makes me happy? What makes me comfortable? What do I need to be successful? What do I want today? Make it all about him. Not about you, not about your boyfriend or girlfriend, not about your roommate, not about your pastor, not about your parents. Make it all about him. Dr. Evans used to say, if you make Jesus Christ the center of your life, the circumference will take care of itself. If you make him the center and you make it all about him, your parents, your pastor, your roommate, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, all the rest of that stuff is going to fall in line and take care of itself if you make your life Christ-centered. You can be confident of this very thing that he, not that your mom chose you, not that your youth pastor chose you, not that your pastor chose you, not that I chose you, but that he, Jesus Christ, God himself, chose you to do something amazing. He, make it all about him. Walk with him every day. Spend time with God every day. Seek his kingdom first. And all these other things, they'll be added unto you. Make decisions in your life by asking, does this honor Christ? Does this honor Christ? Would God be happy with this that I'm thinking or doing or considering? Does it honor Christ or does it honor you? Does it honor somebody else? Don't worry about what other people think. Does this honor Christ? Obey his word. Seek holiness. Not approval. Abide in Christ. Stay dependent on him daily, knowing that without him, you can do nothing. You got this. You got this. Make Christ the center. Let's keep reading. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, God has started a construction plan in your life. He has brought you here, he has chosen you, and is beginning to construct something with, through, and in you in your life. He has begun a good work in you, so allow him to work. Allow him to work. You're sitting in the Evans Auditorium at Hiles Anderson College. In this room that you're sitting in today, maybe, other than the Jack Hiles Memorial Auditorium in Hammond, the Spanish Auditorium now, 523 Sibley Street, there likely is not another room anywhere in the United States of America where more decisions have been made for the kingdom of God than in this room that you're sitting in right now. There's been many construction projects begun in this room that you're sitting in right now that have been allowed to build and grow and flourish and become missionaries in Africa, become pastors all over America, become Bible college presidents and teachers and faculty members, become soul winners, church members, bus captains, bus directors, youth pastors, Christian school teachers, pastors' wives, I mean, you name it. Those construction projects began right here where you're sitting right now. And God has begun a construction project in your life. Would you allow him to build it? Would you allow him to? Would you take yourself and set yourself out of the way and say, God, build. Build. He chose you. You can be confident in that. Would you just allow him to build? Grow. Build. Learn. Become what God wants you to do. What God wants you to be. But listen, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do dumb things. We're all going to say dumb things. We're all going to fail every once in a while. But just because we fail, that doesn't make us a failure, unless you allow it to. Just because you fail a test or forget an assignment or show up late for class or chapel or anything else. It only makes you a failure if you allow it to. Failure only comes to those who try to do something, not to those who don't. Hey, listen, if you're afraid of failing, I got the answer for you. Don't do anything. If you don't try, you're never going to fail. If you don't take the shot, there's not a chance you're going to miss it. There's also not a chance you're going to make it. Failure only comes to those who try to do something, not to those who don't. Failing doesn't make me a failure, but it makes me a student to learn what I've done wrong so I don't repeat it. Was it Einstein who said insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results? Failing means I am one step closer to success. Failing only makes a person a failure if they quit. God has begun a construction project in you. If we could take ourselves out of the equation and just let God do it, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But we're human, and we have flesh, and we have bones, and God allows us a will to make our own choices and our own decisions. And sometimes our own choices and our own decisions get in the way of what God's trying to build. And we make stupid decisions and we make dumb choices and we look back on it and we're thinking, what in the world was I thinking? Failure makes you a student to know what not to do next time. We're all going to fail. But don't be a failure. Failure is somebody who fails and quits because of it. Learn. Allow God to build you. Allow God to grow you. The person doing the work is the person doing the learning. If you're not doing anything, you're not growing, you're not building, you're not becoming what God wants you to be. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get out there and learn and grow and experience. And experience some failure and experience some success. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Speaking of not sitting on the sidelines, fellas, you should sign up for football. We're playing man's version of football this year, not like last year, so get out there. Don't sit on the sidelines, okay? Girls don't want to marry a bench warmer. All right? Get out there and play football. Get out there. Get out on the field and learn. Listen, if you're going to be a youth, this is a little parenthetical. Don't take this out of my time. If you're going to be a youth pastor, an assistant pastor, a Christian school teacher, and you expect to reach public school young men, you better know what they know. You better understand a little bit about sports and athletics. Get out there on the field. This is the place to learn. Like Eddie said, oh my soul, what is happening? Like Eddie said, it doesn't matter whether or not you think you can do it. This is the place to try. Get out there and try, learn, grow. Man, Javi played football in high school. Javi was the tailback. Every time he ran on the field, the coach said, get your tailback on the bench. You can do it too. All right, back to the sermon. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in who? In you. He chose you. He didn't have to. God didn't have to choose to work through man, but he did. And he chose you. He knew exactly what he was getting when he chose you. He put you in this room today. God chose you just like you are. Nobody knows you better than God does. And he still chose you. He still wants you. It is okay to be you. Somebody told me this summer, it's okay to be red. I have a very strong red temperament. If you don't know what that means, you should take my media copywriting class because you're going to learn. It's okay to be you. God chose you. God made each of us beautifully unique. God made some of us one way, some of us another way. And we all fit together beautifully in this body of Christ. Everybody has a role. Some of you are going to be the head in the body. Some of you are going to be the hands in the body. Some of you are going to be your feet in the body. Some of you are going to be the nose in the body. But we all have a beautiful role that God has created for each and every one of us. God chose you. Use your skills and your talents. You are uniquely you. Nobody else can be you. Nobody else would want to be you. You can be you. God chose you just like you are. Be honest with yourself. Acknowledge your strengths and your weaknesses, allowing God to shape you rather than pretending to be someone that you're not. Be authentic. Be you. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Are you a leader or a follower? A thinker or a feeler? A realist or a dreamer? Are you cautious or are you a risk taker? Are you structured or are you flexible? Are you people-centered? Are you task-oriented? God chose you just like you are. God created you just like you are, and he still chose you. You have a great work. Be confident of that. Be confident of this very thing, that he, God, Christ, has begun a good work. He started a construction project in you just like you are. But don't be settled to not grow and not improve and not get stronger and not get better. Allow God to continue to grow the you that you are, to be the best that you can be for him. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he's just getting started. He's just begun it. He's just started this construction process. He that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Continue. Continue. He's just getting started. I think of where I mean, who I was when I was a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior in college. Dr. Stubblefield and I were talking about it in the back, about my grades in college. Who would have thought? I mean, Pastor told you a little bit about me already. I grew up, my parents divorced when I was 5 years old. My mom lives in New York. My dad moved to Florida. My sister and I went down to visit my dad when I was in fifth grade for 6 months. We lived across the street from the church. We would walk across the street to go to church. So we went to church, and I was in junior church as a 10-year-old boy, April the 3rd, 1988, and a Bible college student was preaching junior church. He preached, "Today is the day of salvation." I could take you to the exact spot in the building, it's still there, where I got saved. I was baptized the following week. I mean, who am I to stand behind the pulpit at Hiles Anderson College that God would choose to use me and to be just getting started, start to grow and prepare you? He's just getting started. God has great things for you. You have no idea what they are yet. When Pastor Wilkerson was a college student here at Hiles Anderson College, do you think for 1 second he ever thought he was going to be the pastor of First Baptist Church? The next pastor could be one of you. It really, truly could. You think about people who we look at as heroes of the faith, missionaries, pastors all over the world that sat in this room that you're sitting in right now. You could be the next them if you just continue. If you just continue, because God has great things for you. But we often sidetrack because we get ourselves in the way. Allow God to continue to work in you. And don't quit when it gets difficult. Remember that God has a purpose for you. Remember God's purpose. Trials are not by accident. Difficulties are not by accident. God is shaping you for something bigger. He's just beginning this process. This is a construction process that's going to take a long time. He's just beginning this process in you. You have to allow Him to work. You have to allow God to do His thing in your heart and in your life to create you and to mold you and to build you into the man or woman of God that He has you to be someday. Remember His purpose and His plan. Rely on God's power. You don't have to endure this on your own strength. Hiles Anderson College is hard. The ministry is hard. If you can get through Hiles Anderson College, you can get through anything. Rely on God's power. His grace is sufficient. Grace means help given man by God, a virtue coming from God. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace that He gives me help in my time of need. In my most difficult and challenging times, God has help for me. All I got to do is go get it. Rely on God's power, and last, rest in God's promise. He's just getting started in your life. So listen to me, college student. You got this. You got this. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulty. But He, which hath begun a good work in you, will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You got this. You got this.